Welcome to the ministry of Smyrna Presbyterian Church. Founded in 1914, Smyrna Presbyterian Church believes in the Bible as the Word of God and so desires to preach, teach, pray, and sing that Word so as to know Christ and make Him known in our community, country, and world. We invite you to join us in that mission. Worship services are every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Here now is our pastor, the Reverend Joel Smith.
Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. And there we read, "And they were bringing children to him, that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." Amen. Please be seated. Well, in a certain church, there was a plaque at the back in the foyer. And there was a young boy that was staring at it one day. And the pastor, seeing this as a wonderful, teachable moment, came up and said, "Do you know what that means and what that stands for?" "No, sir," said the young man. "Well, son, those are the people that have died in service," replied the pastor. And soberly, they stood together staring at the large plaque. Finally, the little boy's voice broke the silence and said, and he asked, "Which one, sir? The 8:30 or the 10:30 service?" Well, thankfully, none of you come here for the jokes, and there's mercifully few that come from this pulpit. But we can all appreciate children and their naive nature and the innocence about life and the world around them. It's a refreshing and many times quite humorous. I know that in our house with small, 4 children, we usually have a daily laugh over something said or done. Children are indeed a blessing from the Lord, and they must be seen as a blessing. Yes, there are daily frustrations, no doubts, challenges, even tears when it comes to our children and our grandchildren. But there is nothing in our lives, except perhaps our relationship with the Lord and our marriages, that is more priceless and treasured. Also, nothing in this world that is everlasting as them. Therefore, there is a value and a premium that we must place upon children. And we see this morning a picture of that. We see in our Lord His character and His heart, how He values and sees as important. And what we see in this snapshot is Jesus welcoming the little children. And not only welcoming them, but loving them and blessing them. And even seeing His anger and indignation for preventing these little children from coming to Him. And that which was true then is also true now. Christ today bids the little children to come to Him, for them not to be hindered. And if we are to be disciples of Christ, to live and act as our Savior, then we must love that which He loves and serve those that He serves. And therefore, our priority, both individually and corporately, must be upon children. And in so doing, we learn a valuable lesson about our relationship with the Lord as well. And we'll see that this morning in 3 points: forbidding the children, welcoming the children, and then learning from children. First, forbidding the children. We know from the gospel accounts that it was not just the adults that were coming to see Jesus. Remember the feeding of the 5,000. It was the young boy that had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And here we read that children were being brought to Jesus as well, that He might lay a hand upon them. And this was a normal Jewish practice. You remember the patriarchs would do this. They would lay their hands upon their sons and give a blessing to them. And here, the parents desired for the children to be near Jesus. They knew this man to be unlike any other man. And what a blessing it would have been for Jesus to lay his hands upon these children and to place a blessing upon them. And so they came. But they were unsuccessful in coming. In fact, the passage could be translated, they were attempting to bring their children to them. The idea that they were being hindered, seemingly physically hindered, because the disciples were seemingly working crowd control that day. But even more than that, it says that they were rebuking the parents for bringing such children. And we can only imagine what they were saying. No, no, no. The master does not have time for this. Can you not see that he is trying to teach the crowds? We are on our way to Jerusalem, and you are stopping us for what reason? These children? Do you not see that he has greater things, more important things to do? And their rebukes, no doubt, were true. They were on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus did have great things yet to accomplish. It's just that the disciples had their priorities misplaced. Again, judging on what they believed to be best, what was a priority and what was not. And yet we can do the very same thing, can we not? How many times do we miss teachable moments? Moments to bless and to encourage, be it our children or others, because why? Well, our schedule takes priority, quite frankly. We have our to-dos to get done. We are always in a rush. We have things to cross off our list. And this here is a good reminder that people must always take precedent over projects. C.S. Lewis said, "There are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal. No, it's immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, and even snub or exploit. Our relationship and dealings with them will be either immortal horrors or everlasting splendor." Indeed, that is so true. We've met no ordinary person, no mere mortal. And obviously, service must take place. That is not what we are trying to say. But remember, service is always service unto what? Unto people. Be it in the home, be it in the church, be it in the workplace. Tasks, jobs, work must always have people in mind. We serve people. We work for people. We do what we do for others. Love God and love our neighbors must be the summary of all of our service. And so never allow our tasks to trump that greater purpose, to overlook the people that the Lord has put all around us. And that is seemingly what the disciples were doing. It's not that they had a prejudice against children, it just didn't have a priority for them. And yet, stop me if you've heard this before, they had missed Jesus' teaching just prior to this. In fact, just in the chapter before, Jesus took a little child, put them in his midst, and said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." And then even goes on to say in verse 42 of chapter 9, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." And yet, what do we read in our passage this morning? That the disciples were indeed doing just that. They were hindering the little children from coming unto the Lord, preventing them, even rebuking them. And rightfully so, then, Jesus, it says in verse 14, was indignant. He was angry, quite frankly, and instead rebukes his disciples and says to them, do not hinder them. And this should come as no surprise, for we see the heart of our Lord. There is no more vulnerable people in our culture than children. They're completely needy, unable to care for themselves, defenseless, helpless, weak, and therefore susceptible. And when it comes to history of humankind, the record is not a pretty one. The Canaanites practiced child sacrifice to their god Moloch. The Romans would abandon unwanted children in the streets. And yet we would like to think we've probably progressed from that, that we've maybe even evolved from that. And yet, in modern times, there's kidnapping, sex trafficking, abortion on demand. As a chaplain, I've learned that the police department has a whole division called Crimes Against Children. Do we need a whole division for that? Well, apparently so. And that should rightfully make us angry, and a righteous indignation should rise up within us. And so too within our Lord, as we see here, because these are the ones that the Lord has given to us to care for, to keep safe as parents and as people and as a culture. And therefore they should be cared for and kept safe. And so when they are taken advantage of, or exploited, or tossed aside, or disposed as an inconvenience, the God of heaven takes notice. And the heart of the Father is incensed. For He is a father to the fatherless. If we want to know the hearts of our God, it is for children. And therefore, we see, second, the welcoming of children. Jesus says, do not hinder them, but let them come. Let them come to me. Why? Because for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And many have jumped to the spiritual parallel that these are those that are like children, that those that are like children, those belong to the kingdom of God. Well, that is the point that Jesus makes in verse 15, as we will see. But in verse 14, we should read this the plain and literal meaning that these children, to such belongs the kingdom of God. And therefore, we need to hear what Jesus is saying, that this is a powerful message that we need not miss. The King of the kingdom is saying that these children that you are hindering, the kingdom is theirs, because they belong to me and I belong to them. And so how do you hinder that relationship? It'd be like someone preventing your children from coming into your very own house. You would say, no, this is my house and these are my children, and what is mine is theirs. This is the place that they are protected and cared for and fed and clothed and housed. How dare you prevent them from coming in? How dare you prevent them from getting what they need? And that is exactly what Jesus is saying here. You're trying to prevent them to coming into this place, coming near to me where they will be blessed, where they'll be protected, where they'll be cared for. The place that they will be taught and discipled. These are the ones whom I love, and yet you hinder them? You stop them? How dare you? Let them come, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. These were the children of those that were committed to Jesus. They had, those parents had the necessary faith in order for them to bring their children to Jesus, in order for Jesus to bless them. And so therefore it's not a baptism verse per se, but you see why we do baptize children, as we saw this morning, of believing members, because such belong to the kingdom of God. And if that is true, and if Jesus loves the little children, which he does, and welcomes them, so must we. And so on this being Mother's Day, may God richly bless you, mothers. You ought to be honored and recognized day in and day out through the parenting of your children and your grandchildren. Great is your reward in heaven. And each one of us has been loved, not only by our mothers, but by other mothers as well. And we've experienced God's love through them. And we see why God has given us mothers. And you mothers recognize what you do is of eternal significance. Discipling and pointing your children and grandchildren to Jesus each and every day. Everything else in life will perish and fade, but the souls of your children are eternal. We must place that type of value on them and what you do on a day-to-day basis. And if you do not have children, either they are grown or gone or just not able to, let me remind you this day that, in fact, you do. All these children of this church are yours. As we did this morning at every baptism, we raise our hands, saying that we will be a part of the support and nurture of these children. So each one of us is parents. And so as we look at this passage, we cannot place too much emphasis upon children in this congregation. We must be praying for our children. We must be praying for more children, as I know you are. We should be ministering to children from nursery and beyond. I'm thankful for each one of you that work with our children on a weekly basis, be it in the nursery or Sunday school or Wednesday night. There's soon to be children's church as another opportunity to minister specifically to our young ones. Great is your reward in heaven, Jesus would say. And there are some of you that do this as a profession. Mansions, I believe, in heaven belong to you. Therefore, we cannot pour enough resources into our children. Prayer and support, that there would be a continuation in that work, that there would be a blessing, that there would be greater ministry. And I know that even you are praying for ministerial staff that we can support that will be specifically for our children and our youth. What more biblical precedents do we need than this? And it even should go beyond that, should it not? That this passage would not just say that we need to take care of our own children, but we need to look to the children of our community as well. Throughout church history, the blessed men and ministries of the past always included ministry to children, specifically orphans. You think of George Whitefield or Charles Spurgeon or even our very own John Paul in Haiti. God will bless those that bless the least. And so what a wonderful opportunity it is for us as a church to partner with those that deal with children, be it Reformation Hope in Haiti or Cobb Pregnancy or Covenant Christian School or this Norton Park Elementary School as we help them or Bethany Christian Services. These are the ways that we are trying to be ministering to the least of these. And yet I think this passage would say to us, what more can we do? But there can never be enough. For Jesus says, let them come. We should be desiring for them to come to Jesus. And so let us think strategically. Be it fostering, be it adopting, be it protecting, be it defending. Let us welcome and let us love what Jesus loves. And therefore, third point we see this morning is that we also learn from children as well. And this is why I think it's so important and why we must put a focus upon it, because you become that which you are around. hopefully not childish, but yet having a childlike nature to you. As Jesus says in verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. How is it that we are to receive the kingdom of God like a child? Well, think about it. Children have nothing. Nothing to give, nothing to offer. They are needy, whiny, smelly sometimes, oftentimes, sinful, and pure dollars and cents. They are a liability and not an asset. They are a hindrance and not an assistance. They don't come out of the womb saying, what can I do for you? Rather, they come out kicking and screaming, wanting their needs fulfilled. They're little vipers in diapers. And yet, we love them. Why? Because they are ours. And so too, God loves us. And elects us, not out of what we bring, for all we bring is our sin and misery. He loves us, get this, because He loves us. And has chosen to love us in the Lord Jesus Christ. No more, no less, it is by God's goodness and grace, and that alone. And therefore, to such shall enter the kingdom of God. Not by merits, not by what you bring, but by grace. Not by works, but as a free gift of God. And then once in the family of God, we must keep that childlike faith and dependence upon Him. Children, most of the time, are without a care or a worry in the world. Why? Because they know that their parents will care for them. Wouldn't it be great to have that type of faith with our Heavenly Father? That we need not worry, we need not be anxious, because I know my Father will take care of me. He'll provide for every need. Everything will work out for good. Is that the way this day that you approach your Father? As a child, we can never, quote unquote, mature beyond that. We must always remain as a child with that childlike nature, calling Him our Abba, Father, and therefore be in wonder and awe of who He is as our Father. As children we come, as children we remain, and therefore we must welcome children in His name. I conclude with this. In the Roman world, first and second century, it was the practice of Roman elites, the aristocrat, that when a child was born, that child would be set at the feet of the father. And if the father bent down and picked up that child would be accepted and received into the family. But if he did not, and instead walked away, the baby would remain there. Left, exposed, left to its, no doubt, death, left to the dogs and the wild animals. And if you think about our spiritual state, that would be you and I, abandoned, left to our own demise and eternal damnation. But God, being rich in love and mercy, not only stooped down, but came down in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ to give life to us. And not only to give life to us, but He has bought us, He has adopted us, He has brought us into the family of God. He has made us sons and daughters of the King and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As 1 John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Indeed, we are. And so it was the practice of the early church to go around at night listening for crying babies, so that they could be taken up, and that they could be raised by the church and by Christian families. For they knew that the same love that had invited them and called them is the same love that should propel us to call and invite and love others, even the least of these. And so God has said to us this morning, let the little children come. And we have come by His grace and by His mercy. And so may we too receive and welcome as He has us. For such belongs the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we give You thanks and praise that You indeed not only have stooped down, but You have come down in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, to redeem us, O Lord. We thank You for such grace and mercy, and may we, Lord, minister in that same grace and mercy to others. Lord, we thank You for the wonderful children that we have a part of this congregation. May Your blessing be upon them and upon us as we minister to them. Lord, may You continue to compel us, drive us, O Lord, to minister to the least of these, as You have to us. We pray this in Christ Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.